Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, people, before we go right back to our honored guest and my brothers I look up to and respect so much, I'd like to mention this, that I forgot to the first part of the hour because I get so excited with these guys come out. You know, this month. I'll tell you people what happened 53 years ago this month. Actually, it happened the 8th of June. The 8th of June, people, was the 53rd anniversary of the Israeli attack on the United States ship Liberty. They tried their damnedest to sink that ship, and they were going to, for various reasons, but they were going to blame it on the Egyptians, the Jordanians, who they were fighting with. And you know what? Yours truly, your wonderful president, Lyndon Baines Johnson, and other admirals at the highest level tried, well, they did cover it up. It's the news now. I mean, everybody knows that it's in our movement, but like they're thinking, they don't care who knows about it because they were going to say, what are you going to do about it? Now, I have one last question to you, Ike. It's Sam. Me and Sam talked about it during the break, and I promise you, I'll try not to ask you any more firearms questions. Sam says that the guns you're talking about, this is a good point, are pretty expensive. A lot of our listeners can't afford $1,500, $1,600 gun. I wish I could. How about, he says, SKS Russian made. He said Russian made. If you got $500 or $600, he said he used to run he has this federal firearms license. He says for the money, that's a pretty good gun. What do you think?
SKS is a fine weapon. If you can find an SKS D model, they take AK-47 magazines. If there's a conversion, I did it for my brother. I'm pretty comfortable getting into a weapon, and I need to tell you it's complicated, and it took some real doing and watching about a dozen YouTube videos for me to do that conversion. So, yeah, SKS is fine. Even if you go with the duckbill magazines, it's still fine. It's a great weapon, very reliable. But a D model is, to me at least, something worth saying. Every firearm statement I make is just my opinion, okay? But a D model would be the way to go.
Is that the Russian-made, Ike, is that the Russian-made SKS you're talking about?
Well, you know, the only manufacturers were Russian and Chinese, and, you know, that's a question I don't have the answer to. I'm sorry. I think it may be the Russian one, but I'm not going to try to say that authority.
Sam said that the parts, he had a gun store and all this stuff. He said that the parts, the Russian SKS, he said were much better milled, much better quality.
But I believe that.
Anyway,
you know.
I hope I didn't interrupt you too much, Ike. We get questions, and I know our people in the audience want your expertise. So anyway, I've gotten so miscompobulated. Who's talking? Who's up next? Is it Dr. Hill?
Well, actually,
Ike was actually talking at the break.
Okay, fellas.
We spent some time discussing weapons, and I know Michael Hill knows weapons also, so. I want to be finished with speaking about that myself, but we've got to offer Dr. Hill an opportunity to chime in here because he's a very knowledgeable man about weapons too. So if you don't mind, Eddie, Dr. Hill, is there anything you'd like to say about that topic?
Well, I do agree with you, sir. You know, I'm an M14 man. You know more about the M14 than anybody I've ever seen, and you've always been able to answer my questions, but it's a fine main battle rifle, and that's the one that I have, and I'm a big guy, so I can haul that thing around. But man, you are right, it is heavy, but man, they will penetrate, and they are reliable, so I love those things. But you know, I agree with you. Weapons are a toolbox, and I've got all kinds of tools in my toolbox, and what I say to people is, you know, don't be dissatisfied in having the weapons. Practice with the weapons. Develop your skills until those skills become a matter of muscle memory.
100 amens to that, you know.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And that's all. That's all.
Beware
about weapons, because I could talk all day about those, just like you could, like Ike, but not with the knowledge and the expertise. But it's a nice topic.
A joke I've made.
My dad.
There's only one thing that'll get me off the weights when I'm in the weight room. period. I'm there to lift weights, and that's all I'm there to lift weights about. But if a little conversation brews up about firearms and small arms, I just got to stop what I'm doing and waste 15 or 20 minutes in the gym.
It's never wasted, sir. Never wasted.
You know.
Well, guys, my dad used to say, "Beware of the man with one weapon," because he said he uses it all the time. He said it's not all so much the man with the weapon. He was in the Pacific in World War II. He was the ground pounder, and he said, "Man, beware the man with one weapon, knows how to use it." And I'll shut up after this. I hunted all my life when I was a kid with a single shot Stevens 16 gauge shotgun, and I could shoot so fast that people would think, well, swear I had a pump or an automatic. And I mean, I was dead eyed dick with that thing. God knows, if I had a 12 gauge pump, a Winchester pump, I'd have thought I'd a billionaire. But anyway, I'm going to shut up now, guys. I guess back to you, Ike. Man, I'm just totally discombobulated, guy. But anyway, go ahead, Ike. And if it's Dr. Hill's turn, you go, Dr. Hill.
Go ahead, Ike.
Well, I'm going to get us back to the topic of what's going on out there, because I think it's important. I think it's timely. I think it, if I might be bold enough to say, I think it suits the format of Blood River Radio perfectly. I know Blood River, in its very name, pays homage to the Black South, to the white South Africans in that black run former great civilization completely built by our people. And what's going on here is what began in South Africa. We're seeing it happen. The blacks and their savagery is being enabled by the government. It's being turned, not just turned a blind eye to, but turned a winked eye to. The only logical reason for why our government in this country that was founded by our ancestors is that the levers of power in this country have been lost. We know who they've been lost to. Now, the system can't be reformed, but this land, this continent that was wild, untamed wilderness occupied by indigenous people who hadn't founded any great civilization on it, this is our birthright. And as I've said before, speaking to our conference, Dixie belongs to us by birth and by the will of God, and it's soaked in the blood of our ancestors. Now, the great cities are lost for the time being, but the countryside is not. Right. Suburbs probably lost. But the small
Mike, let me ask you one more question. This is the first time I ever interrupted you so much. You're just hitting every key on the board. Sam wants to know, is it possible for somebody to say that what we're talking about on Blood River Radio tonight is could we be accused and tried for insurrection?
No, nor sedition either. All right. What we're talking about is the loss of our country. We're not discussing any means of force to go get it back. We're actually discouraging our people from going out and participating in this. We've got our sworn enemy, Antifa and BLM, has made themselves so, fighting it out with the law enforcement authorities. They're not necessarily our mortal enemies, but they've certainly shown themselves in many cases to be our adversaries. No, we're advising men like us to let this unfold, to get to know who one another are. Insurrection is actually taking up arms against the government. We're 1,000 miles from that. Sedition is planning to do it. We're pretty darn far away from that, too. I'll be clear. We're not speaking about anything wrong, and we are certainly not speaking about anything illegal. We're talking about the loss of this country. It's happened. Anybody should feel free to convince me I'm wrong. That's not throwing down to anybody that I'm talking with right now, but we've lost this country.
Ike, I guess you hear the music, my brother. God bless you. God bless Dr. Hill. People, we'll be right back with Ike Baker and Dr. Hill, two of the finest brothers you would ever want to know. God bless them. Be right back. Hang on, people.
Attorney Jason Robb, General Counsel of the Knights Party based out of Harrison, Arkansas, and proud supporter of Blood River Radio. I, like you, am concerned about the destruction of our beloved America and our racial kindred people and our cherished liberties. As an individual and as a nation, liberty is what we seek. Liberty is important. It is what allows us to be independent, and if properly used, liberty allows us to fully worship God in all areas of life. And with that worship comes more liberty. We are on the verge of anarchy in this country, and personal liberty is looked upon as a crowning achievement of the people. However, Christianity and white law and order is viewed as the enemy of this newfound freedom. and that is why it is under attack. Learn more while listening to Blood River Radio every Saturday from 4 to 6 p.m.
During our war for Southern independence, the brilliant Confederate general Robert E. Lee foretold the decline of this country when he prophesied, "If those people," referring to the dictatorial federal government, "if those people win this war, the United States will become a bully abroad and a tyrant at home." As Lee predicted, it has come to pass. The principles laid out in our founding documents, our Declaration of Independence, and the individual rights protected in our Constitution have been vilified and discarded. But not everyone has surrendered. Blood River Radio brings you highly respected, intelligent guests not afraid to speak the truth when the truth in America today is censored and attacked. Your contributions keep us on the air in order to fight against the bullies abroad and the tyrants at home. Send your war contributions to Blood River Radio, P.O. Box 34636, Bartlett, Tennessee 38184. That address is on our website, www.bloodriverradio.com. Don't let the bullies and the tyrants win.
I'm Pastor Everett Ramsey, pastor of Faith Baptist Church. A congregation of God's covenant people, informed Christians know that we are at the brink of a long-planned one-world government being executed that will not tolerate true Christian faith. There is a way to stop it. Our church has used God's spiritual weapons of warfare many times over the years, and in every case that was properly executed, the Church of Jesus Christ has been delivered. It is called the Court of Divine Justice. David used it many times. Read Psalm 37, Psalm 109. It includes truthful information, repentance, and imprecatory prayers. Blood River Radio is the only radio station I know that supports action based on truth about lies concerning the Confederacy, the Civil Rights Movement, the German people, the true Holocaust, and who the true covenant people of God are, and the sins and failures of the churches, if any of these. This means anything to you, and it should, then please say so with your money, as well as prayers. You may obtain information from us about the Courts of Divine Justice by sending your offering and request to Blood River Radio, and we take none of the money.
Will do. Well, people, we're right back. We're going right back to Ike and Dr. Hill. And Sam, this is the most excited I've ever seen Sam. He's just feeding me all kind of stuff. Guys, I totally misunderstood the question he said a minute ago, but I'm glad I asked anyway. I don't know if you guys know this about, but I'm going to read something to you guys, and then I'm going to ask you a question. Look at this guy named Raz Simone. Sam sent this to me on my little dinky phone during the break. This Raz Simone is a hip-hop artist who has been dubbed a warlord. He's reportedly controlling the area in Seattle with his armed private police force and is demanding protection money from businessmen. Get that? He's shaking businesses down for money. Well, the Seattle warlord Raz from Chaz owns a Tesla, millions in properties, and more. He says, "Hey, sir, I'm getting pulled over. iPhone feature will record police interaction." Anyway, the question I got, we got this guy, folks. He's more radical than the people I ran into downtown Memphis yesterday. But guys, is this fella, are they practicing insurrection there by doing that? Are they just criminal thug warlords? Are they practicing? I know it's a rhetorical question. What do you say, Dr. Hill?
Well, obviously, I don't know what local laws they've broken, but I'm sure they've broken pretty much all of them as far as that goes. But let me tell you this, it's just like Ike said earlier, you get a bunch of white men out there with arms and try to occupy a part of a city in the South, let's say, and turn it into some kind of autonomous region, you'd see the power of not only the police, but probably the National Guard, if not the U.S. military, used to break that up real quick. I don't know what they would call it, but I do know that it wouldn't be tolerated from people on our side doing it. That's for sure. Let me sort of extrapolate on that here a little bit.
The mayor, Sam said the mayor there in Seattle said it's like a block party, Dr. Hill.
Of course. Yeah, the mayor's a leftist, and the mayor wants to encourage this kind of thing, and the mayor doesn't want people calling her to heel about the fact that the rights of people to run their businesses and live in the area undisturbed have simply been forgotten. So, you know, this is just a big leftist coup d'etat there in that particular location, and the local authorities, elected authorities, are cheering it on. So that should tell you quite a bit about that, that, you know, we're not dealing with people here who care anything about law and order. And I mentioned something to someone the other day. I said, you know, if you're a white man and you think that ideas of fairness and legality and morality and all that sort of thing have any value in this current climate that we have, you're sadly mistaken. The only thing right now that is a currency that's accepted anywhere is power. And it's just like Ike was saying earlier, you know, the suburbs and the cities are probably lost here in the South and certainly elsewhere. But as long as whites can hold on to the rural areas and small towns, as long as we can defend those and as long as we can produce food and other things that we need, and as long as we can keep the roads open and you know, keep the electricity on and, you know, keep gasoline coming into our service stations and stuff like that, we can do okay. Our cities have been lost for a long time. We're just now realizing it. I mean, it's just, you know, coming home in spades, as it were, to most of the what we call normies out there, people, white people who don't think too much about these things. But they are beginning to realize the severity of this situation. And I just pray that it isn't too late, because if we don't have white organization in the small towns and the rural areas, not just of the South, but elsewhere, then we're going to have a hard time. If we can keep these people corralled in the cities and maybe the close-in suburbs, then I think they can be contained. But this revolution is being pushed. It's not just desultory street violence. This is being pushed and unfolded as a plan, and we have to have a plan to resist it. And it has to be a plan that is workable, and that plan has to start with local people in local areas talking to local groups about local issues and particularly local self-defense and local production of necessary items that we need, such as food. And if we can do that, I think we're going to get ourselves set for a battle here that we're going to be able to win in the long run. But it's going to be hard. It's going to be tough. Ike, what do you think?
I agree with that.
Dr. Hill, I'm going to ask you one question. I'm going to ask Ike a question. Dr. Hill, this question is for Dr. Hill. And then before you answer, I'm going to ask Ike a question. I want him to answer the question after I ask you. Dr. Hill, the police are being villainized and attacked. Two, 3 months ago, the first responders were just, you know, they were like angels. They were given free food, you know, free coffee. They were looked upon just like the heroes. Now they're being spit upon and castigated. And people, that, you know, all of them, even the governments are calling for them to be disbanded, defunded. My question to Dr. Hill before is, are the police going to come over to our side? The question before I forget, Ike, is, will the military be called in eventually, or will the military of these people in this General Milley and also the Defense Secretary, are they going to finally call the military? And if they do, will that start the revelation? Dr. Hill, you answer first.
Well, you know, I think that you have to draw a line of demarcation through the entity known as the police. You know, if you're talking about big urban police departments, obviously the police chiefs and police commissioners and people like that are political appointees, or they are part of the system. They realize who butters their bread, so to speak. But now when you get down into the rank and file, even in some of the big urban areas, I think some of those people are obviously going to be, you know, they come out of the people, us, and they're probably going to have a hard choice to make. I think small town police departments and sheriff's departments, county sheriff's departments, particularly in the South and other red states, flyover country, whatever you want to call it, I think we can pretty much depend on those people if push really does come to shove, to side with their localities because they live here. You know, if they're siding with some outside force coming in, then, you know, they're going to have to deal with the people that they live with every day. And that will not be too comfortable for them. So they're going to be put in a difficult position. But I think a lot of rank and file police and sheriff's departments will be siding with us, because they're going to realize that you know what this is, that it's a true civil war with a racial overtone to it, and that's going to make it even more brutal.
Ike, my question to you. Thank you, Dr. Hill. Great, you get great answer. Ike, Dr. Hill mentioned the brass, the police brass, who they're pretty much politicians. They, you know, they know which side their bread's buttered on. You and I know the military is the same way. Are the generals, General Milley, the admirals, the defense secretary, are they going to be overthrown by the, in other words, will the military split like it did in the Civil War, when you had half the West Pointers went to the South, half went to the North, I guess. And is that, and will they fire the shot that causes the Civil War? What's your prediction there, Ike?
All right. I wrote an article many years ago for the Marine Corps Gazette. I had to write it under a pseudonym, and they published it. It was called "When Do We Shoot the Colonels?" All right. In the military, the professional military, from colonel on up, they're political animals almost entirely. There's an exception here or there, but not all Erlex are like that. Not, you know, Naxalt, not all X are like that is not really a valid point. That issue will be decided by what the captains and the majors do, all right?
Yep.
The generals will all be political. Look at that Milley. He walked to that burned out church with Trump, and then immediately tried to disavow that he had done that, because he's a political animal. These men, somewhere deep inside them, they had a sense of right and wrong at some point, but it got subverted by their desire for stars. They got those stars. They will lick the hand that feeds them.
Great answer. People, will be right back after this break. This interview is just going all too fast. Hang on to your seats, people. We'll be right back.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with John Hunt.
Leading members of the Coronavirus Task Force have warned White House officials about the health risks of holding large-scale indoor campaign rallies and advised against such mass gatherings. Dr. Anthony Fauci, the nation's top infectious disease expert, Dr. Deborah Birx, both have vocalized concerns about the safety of holding this rally with as many as 19,000 people in an enclosed arena in Tulsa, Oklahoma. But President Trump and his campaign advisors are proceeding with the event, which is expected to draw tens of thousands inside and even more outside the venue, who will neither be socially distant nor required to wear face coverings. They claim attendees assume a personal risk, and that is part of life. Next week, the president is headlining another large-scale event with thousands of students in a Phoenix megachurch. That state has seen an even higher uptick in cases this week, with back-to-back records for single-day increases. This is USA Radio News.
This is good news, maybe exactly when you need it to. Right now, MediShare is waiving their new member fees. This could save you money on top of all that you'll save each month by becoming a member of MediShare. So many people are looking for a healthcare solution right now, seeing the cost of COBRA plans, for instance. And MediShare is the affordable alternative to health insurance. The typical family saves $500 a month, but you might save even more. MediShare is a Christian community that shares each other's healthcare costs, and because of the current economic situation, they're making it easier than ever. Apply by June 30th. You can save an additional $170 on your first month. I'll give you the number here in a second, and if you call, you can get a price within 2 minutes. Just tell them the promo code SHARE to receive your additional savings. Maybe now is the time to make the switch, like more than 400,000 people already have, and start saving. Here it is. Call 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
The NCAA has announced that NCAA Championship Series will not be held in states where the Confederate flag has a prominent presence. The statement targeted Mississippi, writing, "It's the only state currently affected by the new policy." Mississippi has the only state flag that currently includes the Confederate battle emblem. The flag has come under increased scrutiny recently due to its ties to slavery. The association hosts 90 championships in 24 sports every year. NCAA President Mark Emmert said, "The championships are a special experience for college athletes, and we must do all we can to ensure NCAA actions reflect our commitment to inclusion and support all student athletes." Protesters in Washington, D.C. toppled the district's only outdoor statue of a Confederate general. Protesters tore down and then set on fire a statue of Confederate Brigadier General Albert Pike, which has stood in Judiciary Square since 1901. President Donald Trump condemned the action in a tweet, calling for the protesters to be immediately arrested. This is USA Radio News.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had lessons.
People, we're right back. You're listening to Blood River Radio. It's June the 20th in the year of our Lord 2020. It is the year of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And before we end the show, I'm just going to say, I think the only hope out of this, and I'm sure we have to get on our knees and pray. We have to ask God to intervene. Like that scripture that I read you people at the very first of the show, God, he's brought pestilences, earthquakes. He's brought every kind of scunion, every kind of hell on his people since beginning of biblical recorded history. And I think this is one man's opinion. That's what's happening now, because you got to admit, we have all sinned. We're out of control. We need to get back to God. We need to turn back to our Lord and Savior and ask him for forgiveness, because I think that's the only way we're going to get out of here. And with that as an aside, I'm going to go back to Sam. To Ike. Me and Sam were talking about it during the break. We're talking back and forth. Man, Sam's on fire tonight, too. Ike, now, you know, in Virginia, state of Virginia, they just passed a law that said it's mandatory. If you have a child, you cannot hold that child back from mandatory vaccinations. Also, it's the governor of the state of California has mandated masks. People have to wear masks in Memphis, Tennessee. Here, they tried to do that. It's kind of backfired. My question to you, Ike, if they can force people to wear a mask, make it mandatory, and arrest you for not wearing it, is there anything they can't force on you?
Well, I think the easy answer is of course not. And here's the key to it, is how many people comply. If non-compliance is widespread and ideally even universal, they can't arrest everybody, you know? So what will folks do? How compliant have people become? How cowed have people become? How little value does personal liberty hold anymore? You know, I've worn a mask when I've gone out in public, when this was all at its height, primarily because I didn't want to bring COVID home. I don't particularly feel a great concern that I'm going to get it. As far as the vaccinations, that's something that's been going on for years and years and years. Vaccinations have been around for a long time. I read one time that during the years, for instance, when I was a young child being vaccinated, the early 70s, early 60s, I almost cut 10 years off my age, the early 60s of the mid-60s, there was only a small handful that actually probably made sense at the time. We all probably had them, rubella, measles, I don't remember what they all were, polio maybe. There was, I don't recall, maybe possibly four or five different vaccines. Now there's dozens. So that's a, compelling parents to do something with their children doesn't really sit right with me, you know?
Yeah. Amen. And you know why, Ike and Dr. Hill, there's an excellent book written by a pediatric gastroenterologist from England, and very highly respected, degrees at the Yang Yang. He had his license revoked because he started finding links to autism, other numerous childhood illnesses that was caused brain damage, death, to the vaccinations. And he merely asked questions about the safety of these vaccinations. And for that, for him asking too many questions, they yanked his license for that. There's other excellent sources of people. His name is Dr. Jeremy Wakefield, if I remember right. He wrote a book called, what was the name of that book? Anyway, look up Dr. Jeremy Wakefield. It's something like, intended harms. But Jeremy Wakefield, look that up. Also, there's another excellent doctor by the name of Dr. Russell Blaylock. Memory serves. He went to medical school. He taught at the University of South Carolina School of Medicine. Dr. Sherry Tenpenny. Oh, excuse me, Dr. Andrew Wakefield. Thank you, Sam. Dr. Andrew Wakefield. He has some great information. I would love to get him on our show sometime. Dr. Hill, I don't know if you know, but in Portland, we'll go back to Portland. And then I'm going to shut up and let y'all. I'm asking too many questions. The Portland criminal thugs, they toppled George Washington's statue on the eve of Juneteenth. And I bring this up to you, Dr. Hill, because you're the first person I know, and I've used a phrase that I've heard you use. You coined it. The first time I ever heard you talk years ago, you're the one that taught me. It said, first, these thugs are going to come for the linen. Then they're going to come for the stone. And they've already done that. And you also said then, when they were done with that, they're coming for the flesh. So, Dr. Hill, any comments about this? They're George Washington, for God's sakes. The people in the North, the liberals said, oh, they're just getting rid of all these old dirty Southerner statues. No, you know, we got our George Washington. We got our Thomas Jefferson. What's going on there? Will they topple a statue of Jesus Christ, Dr. Hill? Any comments you have about that, Dr. Hill?
Okay, well, listen, NAACP was doing this back in the 80s, late 80s and early 90s, and they had a campaign that they were going to get not only the Confederate flag taken down, but they were going to get a lot of these statues and monuments taken down and street names and school names changed and things like that. So this is not a new campaign, but we told everybody who would listen, so I say we, the League of the South, that these people would not stop with Confederate flags and monuments and statues, that eventually they would go after George Washington and Thomas Jefferson are Southern, obviously, but they're perceived more as generally American heroes. But the point is, we have learned over the course of the last quarter century that it doesn't matter if they're Confederate or they're American or whatever, as long as they are white, they are a target. I've noticed that some people have even started targeting statues of Lincoln, you know, because he's white. This should open a lot of people's eyes, and I have said from the very beginning that they won't just stop with historical figures. They will eventually go and tear down anything that is there to remind them of Jesus Christ himself. And that means church steeples and the churches that sit beneath them. Every vestige of Western Christendom, whether it's a cathedral at Notre Dame or whether it's some Baptist church in Podunk, Alabama, is going to be an eventual target of these people, because at the very base, they are anti-Christian. They are pro-satanic. These are the devil's children run amok on this earth. And eventually, the targets will be Christians themselves and those churches that right now ought to be standing up for us, but have gone over to the enemy, and they're going to get what they deserve. I don't call these buildings and these congregations that support Black Lives Matter and Antifa churches. They are some sort of dens of iniquity, but they are not the real church. The real church is going to be discovered during this turmoil, and it doesn't necessarily have to be contained in any brick buildings anywhere. It's going to be a church made up of flesh and blood that is going to fight back against these satanic powers. And this is where it's all heading in the end, is the destruction of Christianity and God's people. But that will not happen, because God has promised his remnant will always be here and his word will be triumphant. So as long as we stay faithful and true to the God who made us and to whom we serve, we'll come out okay in the end on this thing.
I think you nailed it, Dr. Hill. That's a brilliant answer, like you always have. Dr. Hill, you said something. I'll kind of paraphrase what people have said. In the end, in this revolution, your skin color is going to be your uniform. And if you look around, we have churches of every kind here in Memphis, Tennessee. We have Korean, so-called Korean Christian churches. We have Mexican churches that have a preponderance to be Catholic, but there's Mexican Southern Baptist churches here, believe it or not.
Yeah.
But if you'll notice, Dr. Hill, I haven't seen any of these Korean churches attacked, any Mexican churches attacked. We even have out off of Highway 64, like you're going out to Oakland. We have a Hindu temple. We have Muslim. We have Islamic temples. None of them are being suffered. They're being catching any flack. So it looks to me like, Dr. Hill, I think you nailed it. The target, for some reason, Satan, he hates Christians, but he seems to hate white Christians more than anyone, Dr. Hill.
Satan knows enough to know that white Christians are God's true chosen people.
That's right.
The Adamic race. Satan knows the Bible. Satan knows what the score is. He knows it a lot better than these so-called Christians who get their theology from the Scofield Bible, as Ike mentioned earlier.
See, Frank,
absolutely. Ike, you have...
Yeah, something I don't generally get into, but I'm a Christian, but I'm a Christian identity Christian, all right?
Yeah, me too.
Christianity is... I wasn't going to say that on your behalf, sir, but yes, the leadership of the league, by and large, is Christian identity Christians. We know that Christianity is not a club, it's a blood. And we know that we are God's highest expression of his will on this earth, and our race, our people, the Adamic people, the only ones who can get blood in the face, we've striven to the extent of our ability since we've existed to serve him and create a civilization that pleases him. And
guys, we got to go to a quick break. We're long on this break.
I'm Monica Schaefer from Canada, a former political prisoner. Here at Blood River Radio, we are not afraid to tell the truth and shame the devil. Our mission is to fight against white genocide. We do that by exposing the lies. We talk about the American Civil War. We talk about the vilification of German people and, by extension, all white people. And we even talk about that linchpin lie, the Holocaust. Deception by the alien enemy within has brought us whites to our knees. My last words at the Schaefer's speech crime trial in Germany were, quote, "If there was a law forbidding us to breathe, we would break that law immediately just to live. And so it is with this law. We must break this law in order to survive and thrive as a people," unquote. Please donate to Blood River Radio and help keep us on the air.
I'm Michael Hill, president of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C. and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
Hey, this is Matt from Blood River Radio. Blood River Radio is your voice to save our land, our people, and our future. We propose Christian solutions to an anti-Christian assault on our bloodlines. We love what we do, but we cannot do it without your help. The annual operating cost of Blood River Radio is more than even a team of people should bear alone. With your donation, we can take the fight to our enemies and hold our own people accountable for their treachery against us. Please go to our website, www.bloodriverradio.com, and find a way to help us that is suitable for you. We are thankful for any cash, check, or money orders we get. We also appreciate your correspondence or letters of encouragement. Once again, please help, and thank you for joining the fight.
Well, people, we're right back. We're gonna have Ike to hit rewind to go 30 seconds. We had to cut him off because he had to go and adjust his black hood. But anyway, because he's our enforcer. But anyway, Ike, hit rewind, yeah. Fella. We didn't mean to. That we're a slave to the commercials.
Got
to pay bills. They're on a timer. And they cut you off. You know, at certain times.
Free. But
listen, so anyway, hit.
Is this our people have existed since time immemorial to glorify God? All right, we've created a civilization that tamed this planet, and we will tame this planet again. All right. Christian altruism, which should be directed toward our own exclusively, has been used to cut the heart out of the greatest race that's ever walked the earth. It can be put back. And I'd like to say something to the white men out there, true of heart and strong of spirit. Stay your hand, brothers. Zog is doing everything they can to tempt us to gather and arm up and set this right. Don't do it. They just want an excuse to crush us. Statues can and will be replaced. Brave men cannot be. We have more important things to defend. So stay your hand and let these godless bastards fight it out and destroy everything they can destroy, and we'll rebuild it even better. Non nobis domine, non nobis sed domine, tu da gloriam. Not to us, Lord. Not to us, but to thy name let the glory be given.
Amen.
Amen to that. Amen to that. In fact, that was my brother Ike's advice to me the other day when I was downtown in the midst of these guys. But like I say, I just happened to just be there. I didn't even know they were there. And I've always said this. I'm sure Dr. Hill will probably agree, and Ike too, that, you know, discretion, especially yesterday, was the better part of valor. Back to you, Dr. Hill. Any comments on what Ike just got through saying?
Yes, don't be tempted to go and do something stupid, white man. We have conquered this world, and we've conquered the stars, and we'll conquer them yet again by being patient and by making sure that we did things the right way. In a situation like this, right now you need to observe what's going on and understand it. And you need to make sure that your neighbors, your friends, your family, and those people with whom you worship know what's going on. Make preparations based on that knowledge. Organize based on that knowledge. And wait patiently based on the knowledge that the opportunity, the perfect opportunity, God's given opportunity to us, will come, and those whom you trust as your leaders will know when that opportunity is here and will give the word. Until then, you need to sit tight, observe, tell the truth, prepare, organize, pray, and get yourself ready for the fight for your people and civilization. It's coming, but we dare not initiate something before the time is due. The time will be due. Be patient, be watchful, and be ever vigilant. Build your courage and your strength and your skills day by day, and get ready to play the men that God created you to be.
It's very well put, Kensene.
Thank you, sir.
Back to you, Ike. Back to you, Ike. That is excellent, Dr. Hill. You two guys you make my life on this radio show not just easy, but it's so enjoyable. You can really tell how I always get excited when you're on. Ike, I guess going back to you, kind of in a question similar to what I asked earlier. Now, this revolution, this all-out civil war, which is coming. As a matter of fact, I was talking to Sam during the break about two segments ago. Bill Clinton, in about 25 years ago, I got this off of another news site. He commissioned these two fellows. I wish I could remember their name. One of them was a big-time professor at an Ivy League school, George Mason University, and he also commissioned a mathematician, and that's above me. They were going to study what causes nations to fail, what causes nations to break down. And one of the things in this study, they said these guys predicted that there would be severe civil disrest and violence in the street in the year 2020. Well, I hear just this past week, of course, this news station I was listening to, they said that they have revised their study and said they're predicting an all-out civil war. And I guess I'm going to go back. Well, hope I'm not beating a dead horse. Come back to you one more time.
Sure.
First of all, do you think these people, they're pushing for this civil war? They want it. The Archbishop said they want to do that. They're the children of darkness, just like you guys have been talking all night. Do they know what they're getting into? Do you think do they really want to start the civil war? If they do, okay. It's impossible to know. But how many military people are going to go? We're going to have a split in loyalties to the military. Back to you, Ike.
I really can't answer that with a number, okay? But I can tell you this. The combat arms of the U.S. ground military is overwhelmingly white and very disproportionately Southern, all right? I can't see our own people in any significant numbers actually taking up arms against us, all right? I have a naval special warfare operator in my family, and I've had this conversation with him before. And the problem for them, where they're going to have to make a decision, is when the Insurrection Act is invoked, and it will be at some point. This war is almost a sure thing. I believe it'll be a situation where our race is our nation and our skin is our uniform. How many will go with us? Some, probably a significant number, and hopefully, and I believe probably, enough to swing things our way. The powers that be pushing this to happen, I was saying up until the last few weeks that chaos theory is actually going to start to rule events. Chaos theory already is ruling events at this point, and we're about to come to the point where the law of unintended consequences is invoked. You know, we're either going to be the greatest generation of white men who ever lived, or we are going to be the last, and I believe it's going to be the former. Because I retain a utopia of hope for my people, that the spirit of our people that has prevailed in countless, countless other really tight circumstances is going to prevail again. There's been some literature out there. If a person wants to read, there's a man named Matt Bracken who's written some excellent kind of dystopian post-apocalyptic books. Of course, the Turner Diaries. I've recently listened to the Turner Diaries for I don't know how many times that's been. Actually read in William Pierce's voice. So this has been talked about, been thought about, been in a loose sense planned for. I don't necessarily mean logistical plans being put in place, but plans and intentions of what may come in the future and how we may handle those things. How many military will fall our way? How many police will fall our way? I'm going to go with what Dr. Hill said a short bit ago about the law enforcement. Urban law enforcement, for the most part, is not going to come with us, although we are probably going to gain some white officers when they stop being paid. Because, that paycheck and that pension, I think, is what keeps a lot of them working against us. Will we accept them? I say, yes, we do. Let their skin be their uniform.
Yep.
Your rural county sheriff, your small town police departments, they already are part of us. There was recently in small town Ohio, east of 30, 40 miles east of Cincinnati, in a little town called Bethel, Ohio, some local agitators, because small towns aren't exclusive, they don't say who can't live there. Some little agitator brought BLM and Antifa to Bethel, Ohio last week. I've read conflicting numbers, everything between 300 and 700 armed white men and women met them there, and it did not go their way. The Bethel Police Department formed a hard perimeter around these outside agitators. I'd like to think that's typical of what these godless, soulless dregs of humanity can expect when they actually get out into white America. And small towns in rural America is not exclusively white, but I think it's fair to say it's overwhelmingly white. I live in a county in the Appalachians that's 99.7% white, and we don't know where that 0.3% is, because none of us have ever seen it. Okay.
Yep.
So
well, it's your job to find out where the hell they live, Ike. Ike, and we're about to run out of time. I got to ask Dr. Hill this, and Dr. Hill, how can our people order, say, 100 of the free magnolia with the new Red Terra articles?
They can go on www.leagueofthesouth.com, and they can click on the free Magnolia, or they can simply email me. My email address is there, and tell me they want to place an order for those back issues on the new Red Terror. There are three of them, you know, 1, 2, and 3, and we'll send them those back issues for free. You know, if they want to make a donation to the league, obviously they can, but we'll send you a free copy of the free Magnolia and let you see what you think of it.
People don't ask for a free, send some money, but order those magazines. Dr. Hill, Ike, my dear brothers, time has gone so fast. I still had 25 very other questions. But anyway, thank you so much, Ike. Thank you so much, Dr. Hill. And thank you, Sam, for helping us put together such a wonderful show. All you Blood River Radio people, I love you. We do this for you. Just pray for us. Pray for Blood River. Pray for the League of the South. Pray for Dr. Hill. Pray for Sam. Pray for Ike. God bless you. Next week, I think Jacob's going to be running the show, and I'm trying to get Matt worked in here, too, again. 2 weeks from today, we're going to do League of the South again, but we probably have to record because it's going to be 4th of July weekend. So good night, everybody. Thank you for tuning in tonight. Good night, Sam.